Tonight we're going to do a sharing on a love story between Yahweh and Solomon. So we'll begin in 2 Samuel chapter 7, page 327. Your Bible, Donna?
I'm good. I don't have my reading glasses.
Okay.
2 Samuel
chapter 7, verses 1 through 3.
Amazing. We were right there.
Just there.
That's right.
Good job, Esther.
All right. And it came to pass, when the king had taken up his abode in his house, and Yahweh had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See, I pray thee, I have my abode in a house of cedar, but the ark of Elohim abideth in the midst of curtains. And Nathan said unto the king, All that is in thy heart, go, do, for Yahweh is with thee. This is very important, too, is we've got to remember David was a prophet, and he had Holy Spirit, but we have to surround ourselves with people who hear and walk with Yahweh, so we can get words that we otherwise wouldn't receive. Now we go to verse 12, 17, and we know what happened, and we're going to see about that, but... And it shall be that when thy day shall be fulfilled, and so Yahweh is saying you're not going to build a temple, but it shall be when thy day shall be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, then will I raise up thy seed after thee, which proceedeth from my own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish his kingly throne unto time's age abiding. I will become his father, and he shall become my son. So this sounds a lot like Christ also. So we're going to see that Solomon's relationship in Yahweh is really the foreshadowing of Christ in Yahweh. And if he commit iniquity, then will I correct him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the son of men. But my chesed shall not depart from him, as I caused it to depart from Saul, whom I caused to depart from before thee. So shall thy house and thy kingdom be made steadfast unto time's age abiding before thee. Thy throne shall be established unto time's age abiding. And we keep seeing that time's age abiding for the throne. Did you want to sit up here? Isaiah, come on and sit on the couch.
Okay.
Either one. You have to say, well, that just can't be. That's forever. Well, with Christ it is. According to all these words and according to all these visions, so spake Nathan unto David. So that kind of begins the story of Solomon. Now we go to 2 Samuel 12, and we'll see Solomon come into the picture. He's talking about a future son that he hadn't had. He was going to build a temple. And we're going to see also the temple is foundational to all the word of Yahweh, from Moses to, you know, Solomon and David, to Ezra and Nehemiah, to the destruction of the temple in Yahushua's time, to the new foreshadowing of the temple being built by Yahushua.
That represents worship.
Well, the center of it is Yahweh. And you're looking at that, so there's such a connection here that keeps coming back and forth, and so a lot of times we just got to be able to see and pay attention. So, chapter 12, verse 24 and 25. And David consoled Bathsheba, his wife, after their son died, and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son and called his name Solomon. And Yahweh did what?
Loved him.
I think that's a very, very unusual phrase, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And where else in the Word does it say, here's a person just born, and it says, and Yahweh loved him, ahabbed him. And he sent by the name of Nathan, the prophet, so he sent a prophet with a message about this child who was just born. Well, that's like Christ, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, Christ had a big fanfare when he got born. And called his name Yadiah, beloved of Yah, for Yahweh's sake. And so what a display of a coming king that's coming in. Now we go to 1 Chronicles, chapter 22. That's page 430. Tell you a little bit more about him. And so we're going to be going back and forth because it's important that Yahweh, to a lot of people's surprise, doesn't tell a story in one book. You have to go look for it. And that's why we have three Gospels. And people make mistakes and they read one Gospel and never reconcile with the other Gospels. So, 1 Chronicles 22, verse 1. Get there?
430.
Oh, then 2 Chronicles. Hold on. Then said David, "This is the house of Yahweh Elohim." Am I right there? Yeah. Mm-hmm. "And this is the altar of a sinning sacrifice for Israel." So we're talking about the altar now. When they're about ready to start building it. Now we go to 7 through 10. That's the context. "And David said to Solomon his son, 'As for me, it was near my heart to build a house for the name of Yahweh my Elohim. But the word of Yahweh came unto me saying,'" and this is a good illustration. When people say a Holy Spirit came saying, you know, it's the word of Yahweh came saying all the time, but where, how did it really come? Through who?
Prophets.
Yeah, who was that? Nathan. And so Yahweh spoke to Nathan, which spoke to David, and it's called, in one place, Nathan's telling him what Yahweh says, and another place it says the word Yahweh came saying. So people have such a difficult thing with the Holy Spirit said. Well, no, this is real common in Hebrew. You know, obviously a word, that's a figure of speech. It's not literal that there's an element called the word of Yahweh coming around with identity. But the word of Yahweh came unto me saying, "Blood in abundance hast thou shed." Now remember, connect this with David. He had to shed a lot of blood. And so did, and we're going to see Christ also is going to go through a very tough time to start his ministry. "And great war hast thou made. Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because much blood hast thou shed upon the earth before me. Lo, a son born to thee, he shall be a man of rest," and that's what Solomon means, peace. "And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. So Solomon shall be his name." So who named Solomon?
Yahweh.
Yahweh did. And also he gave him two names. And Jedidiah, which means beloved of Yah. "And peace and quietness will I bestow upon Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father." Where else does it say that? You know, of any other kings or anything like that.
Yahushua.
This is Yahushua again. "Therefore will I establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel unto time's age abiding." And that's going to be obviously on the new earth. Now we go to 1 Kings chapter 3. And here's Solomon's existence on page 353.
Would you mind telling me again what that was?
1 Kings 3:3.
Okay.
And this is great also. "Solomon loved Yahweh by walking in the statutes of David his father, save only that in the high place he himself was sacrificing and offering incense." So Yahweh loved Solomon at birth, and Solomon loves Yahweh. And how do I know if Elijah loves Yahweh? How would I know that, Esther? I'll read this verse. Go ahead and read the verse for me again.
Okay. "Solomon loved Yahweh by walking in the statutes of David his father."
What did he do? By
walking. Statutes are like the words.
The rules.
The rules.
"By walking in the statutes of David his father." So how do we know somebody loves somebody? They do what they say. I mean, they do what they're supposed to do. And so if you love Yahweh, you're going to obey it. If you love your mother, you're going to do what?
Obey
her. Obey. If you disobey her, are you loving her?
Nope.
No. So Solomon is doing that by walking in love. Mm-hmm. Now we go to chapter 4, verse 29. And okay, Melania, 29 to 33.
Alrighty. And Yahweh gave wisdom.
Now wait a minute. You have this wrong. And we'll do this again. Let me ask all the kids. If you're not sure, just read what it says. In the Old Testament, we have the word Yahweh. So we don't have to put the word Yahweh anywhere. Because where it is, it's there. If it's G-O-D, it's small, it's Elohim. It's not Yahweh. Now, in the New Testament, is Yahweh written anywhere? No. So when it says G-O-D, if it's talking about Yahweh, or if it's talking about what he is an Elohim. But Yahweh is my Elohim. And so to be God is my God. And how would say that? So this is Elohim. But I'm saying for the kids, if you're not sure, if you forget, just say what's written.
All right.
Start off at 29.
And Elohim gave wisdom unto Solomon, and discernment, and very great largeness of heart, like the sand that is on the shore of the sea, so that the wisdom of Solomon excelled the wisdom of all the sons of the east, and all the wisdom of the Egyptians, so that he was wiser than any man, than Ethan the Esalite, and Heman the Kakol, and Darda sons of Mahol. And it came to pass that his name was throughout all the nations round about, and he spake 3,000 proverbs. And it came to pass that his songs were 1,005, and he discoursed of trees from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even unto hyssop that springeth out of the wall, and he discoursed the beasts and the birds and the creeping things and the fishes.
That's it. Think of that. I mean, this guy was brilliant. Brilliant. Yahweh made him brilliant. That's what Christ is going to be also. So keep reflecting back on Christ.
What's the discoursed?
Discourse is conversation.
Okay.
But it's to speak. And so when we have a conversation, it's discourse.
Okay. Of the beasts and the birds.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now we go to 1 Chronicles 29, page 436. So really seeing something going on with Solomon that didn't happen with anybody else. 29, verse 23 to 25. Hey, Isaiah, you want to read 23 to 25?
Yep.
I'm going to start. This is the first sentence, then you carry it on. This is nowhere else either. So Solomon took his seat upon the throne of David.
Yeah.
What's it say?
Yahweh.
Yahweh. Well, it doesn't say that any place, but any other king. And carry on after that.
Instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel hearkened unto him, and all the rulers and the heroes, yea, moreover, all the son of King David gave a hand unto Solomon the king. And Yahweh magnified Sodom exceedingly before the eyes of all Israel, and gave him a royal majesty, had not been any king before him over Israel.
We'll stop right there. That's a lot. Now we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 22. Elijah, you want to do 22 and 23.
And so King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth, as to riches and wisdom. And all the kings of the earth were seeking the face of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which Elohim hath put in his heart.
That's all. 23. Do 29 to 31 now.
Okay. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, first and last, are they not written in the records of Nathan the prophet, and in the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite, and in the visions of Iddo the seer concerning Jeroboam son of Nebat? And Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead.
And you say, okay, the end. What a great story, huh? Well, that's how it was portrayed. I mean, here was, from birth to the end, he was fabulous. But that's not the end, is it?
No.
And so in life, things don't happen that way. In our life. And so what we've got to realize, things that were left out was, and this is called the rest of the story. Paul Harvey's is the rest of the story. David had, his father had Uriah murdered, and that's where actually he, his mother was Bathsheba, right? And that was Uriah's wife. And that's not very good, but that should, it just astounded us.
That's why the first child was killed.
Yeah, died. So actually when David killed Uriah and his first child, David sent. But then you're saying, what is that lesson that he made Solomon, the son of David, and to be king and be the example of Christ? What forgiveness? You know, what we're looking at, you know, he could have picked up another son someplace else. He had a lot of wives. But the one you committed adultery with is actually the heir? Fabulous. You know, what kind of message is that? But then we see in David's life, which is a great person, Yahweh says the only thing that David did wrong was have Uriah killed. But he did all my will. So here was David. So in my estimation, David's 40 years, Solomon's 40 years, that's the Christ. So Christ had a fight while he was here on earth. When he comes back, he's going to have to fight. But then when the new kingdom comes, he's going to have peace for 1,000 years.
So on his earthly ministry, he's like David fighting. Yeah. And then a thousand year
millennium. And even in the book of Revelation, he's going to be fighting. He's going to be killing half the population. I mean, that's blood. And then these are all signals for Yahushua as he's reading the scriptures of what he's going to have. Because otherwise, you know, as we know, it appears that Yahweh set up Solomon to fail. Because he gave him so much wealth and so much grandeur and everything else. And you would say, well, what are you doing? You're going to kill this kid by doing this. And but I think, no, the lesson was, because he lists all the stuff that he has. You know, it's just fabulous, temple, everything else, which you can see. But you have to say, what was the message here? It has to be for Yahushua. That's going to be his kingdom. That's going to be his Jerusalem. These are going to be his things, where the grandeur is just spectacular. But we know that with David, one of his sons, Ammon, raped his sister, Tamar. So we're going to have to think the rest of the story. And Ammon was then killed by who?
Absalom.
And so there is one of the sons down, Ammon, or Ammon. Now Absalom tries to overthrow David, his father. And so then he dies. That's two sons down. God, it is a sad story. But it also shows that you're not responsible for your children's ways. And they choose, and it's not like David was a bad father. You know, because it says he did all of Yahweh's will except for Uriah. Then that's not it. Then there's Adonijah. So Adonijah attempts to overthrow Solomon. So you're looking at the adversary too coming to break this promise of Solomon. Mm-hmm. So Absalom attempted to break the promise. Adonijah attempted to break the promise. And Adonijah ended up dying. And then Joab, which was the general, you know, who was helping Absalom, or Adonijah, he didn't like Absalom, but Adonijah, to overthrow him, and that would have broken the promise too. So when Yahweh gives a promise, there's a lot of adversity that can come with it, and don't be surprised.
Yeah.
You know, you fight right through it to bring it to pass. And look at Donald Trump. My goodness, if you want adversity every day of your life, George Bush was the same way every day of their life. But Yahweh's will is being done in that capacity. And then as we know, Solomon didn't end well, did he? Now, of all the person had everything, and that's in 1 Kings 11, so the lesson was there too, that even Solomon, after all this, who Yahweh visited twice, all right, you know, rejected Yahweh. For who?
Foreign women.
His wives. So are you willing to reject Yahweh for your son, for your daughter? And so with all of our lives, we go through every one of our family members. Are you willing to reject Yahweh for your husband, for your wife, for your mother, for your father? And that's what it comes down to, because that's what got David, that's what got Adam kicked out of the garden, because he took Eve over Yahweh. And this is what Solomon did. He chose his wives at the end. He said in his old age he was deceived. And do you think you can be around bad people?
No.
Do you think you can live with bad people and not be burned? And so he had this, and so Solomon didn't end well either. Now, but we go back to Christ, so that's the real story, that's our real life, and things are going to be adversity. So we go to Psalms 2, and let's look at a little bit about Christ. Page 529. And so in Luke 14, it says, unless you hate your father and your mother, your wife, your brother and your sisters, for my sake, you cannot be my disciples. And so what it all comes down to is there's going to be one, and he's not going to be shared. And that was the problem with, with Israel. I just heard a deal on, is it, either Yahweh's God, worship him, or Baal's God, worship him. Choose. And they won. So they had both. So I think I can do both, and that's what Solomon is doing. He's going to the temple with Yahweh while he's building a temple for Moloch, mm-hmm. for his wives. And so people, and today the Democratic Party has government as a god who takes care of their needs, and then they go to church on Sundays, a lot of Christians. But and so we've got to choose ye this day. And so at Psalms 2, verse 7 through 9, and this is great. Let me tell of a decree. Yahweh has said unto me, my son thou art, just like he did with Solomon. I today have begotten thee. Ask of me, and let me give nations as thy inheritance, and as thy possessions the end of the earth. Thou shalt shepherd them and hug them real tight.
No.
Now, what's it say?
Iron?
Yes.
No brain.
I love that. As a potter vessels, thou shalt hug them.
No.
Yes.
Jesus.
Well, the God we have today and the world we live in today, it's all hugs and kisses.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really comes down to is just love. They will know it. We are Christians by our love, and love is important, but love can be killing somebody. Very simply. Now we're going to look at King Yahushua building the temple. That's Zechariah 6. And the temple is paramount to David's ministry, to Solomon's ministry, and it's also to be Christ. And page 905. So you got Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, and then you got Zechariah.
Zechariah what?
Chapter 6.
What do you mean, Zechariah and Malachi?
Well, I said Malachi is the last book of the Testament, go one before it in Zechariah, so it's easier to go that way.
So Zechariah is before Malachi?
Yes. Well, if I said that, but you don't know what Malachi is.
I'm being silly again.
Okay, yeah, I know. Then you have to say, okay, Malachi is the last book. But actually, good question, what's the real last book of the Old Testament? Nope, nobody knows. You guys know?
Revelations?
No, the Old Testament. The, Old Testament. And the Hebrew, actually the way Yahweh set it up. And it's for people to learn. What?
Old Testament. That's the Old Testament.
Pardon?
John.
No, the Old Testament.
Malachi?
No, it's Second Chronicles. Chronicles. Chronicles ends the Old Testament. And it's the line of David, the kings. And right at the end of Chronicles, it says, Cyrus comes up and says, we're going to build a temple. Right?
Yeah.
That's the end of the book. And that's Christ comes in. And that's Matthew, the next book that comes in. The king. The king. And so Second Chronicles, and then it's... But yeah, people messed it up with the Septuagint. The Septuagint, there was 24 books. Septuagint made 36 books. And they made Malachi the end. But that's not the subject. But good to drill it in our head. That's not the last book. Chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. And then shalt thou speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh Yahweh of hosts, saying, lo, a man, but is his name. And this is Semach. Semach. And out of his own place shall he bud forth, and shall build the temple of what?
Yahweh.
This is Ezekiel 40. And he shall build the temple of Yahweh, and he shall bear the honor, and he shall sit and rule upon his throne, and shall become a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between the two of them. So here he's a priest building the temple, and in Psalms 2, he's the king with a scepter sitting on the throne knocking heads. So on the new earth, the thousand-year reign, where he reigns, is it going to be nice and peaceful all the time?
No.
Because he's got mortal men there.
Mm-hmm.
And he has an iron scepter, and he's going to have to knock some heads around it. And none of us are taught any of this. The word is full of it, because everybody else is in heaven. There is no new earth. That doesn't even exist. And not even the end of the book, that's Revelation in the New Testament. And it's strange how people just jump into heaven, everything's fine, everything's complete. No, it's not. People haven't even been judged yet. Now we go to Isaiah 11, and we're back to Christ, page 658. And this is the great prophecy of Christ. And you see, we get a reflection on Solomon, the wisdom of Solomon. Remember, he was going to cut a child in half. There's father, and he puts these stories in. 11 chapter 1. Chapter 11, verse 1, sorry, through 4. And there shall come forth a shoot from the root or stalk of Jesse, and a sprout from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and reverence of Yahweh. So he will find fragrance in the reverence of Yahweh. And not by the sight of his eyes will he judge, nor by the hearing of his ears will he decide. For he will judge with righteousness them who are poor, and decide with equity for the oppressed of the land. And he will smite the land with the scepter of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips will he slay the lawless one. So here he becomes kings again. So the temple, let's go right back to here. First Chronicles, chapter 28. And this is very important, because one thing back to temple again, because Yahushua is going to build a temple. But something for the kids' sakes, 28 verse 2 and 3, we're going to see some interesting facts. 2 and 3. And then David the king rose up on his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, it was near my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of Yahweh and for the footstool of our Elohim, and I made ready to build. But Elohim said unto me, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, for a man of war thou art, and blood that thou hast shed." Now we go to 6 and 7. And he said unto me, "Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have made choice of him that he may be my son, and that I may be his father." All has to go to Christ, because Solomon didn't end well. And he might not even be on the new earth, if it comes down to it. He might have rejected Yahweh totally. "So will I establish his kingdom unto times age abide, and if he be strong to do my commandments, my regulation as his day." Now we go to 10 to 12. "See now that Yahweh hath made choice of thee to build a house for a sanctuary, be strong and do. Then gave David unto Solomon his son the plan of the porch and the recesses thereof and the treasures thereof and the upper room thereof and the inner courts thereof and the recess for the propitiatory, and the plans of which had come by what?
The Spirit
to be with him, for the courts of the house of Yahweh, and for all the rooms round about, for the treasures of the house of Elohim, and for the treasury of hollow thing." So who designed the house?
David.
Yahweh. But what an instrument David was, so blessed to have the blueprints out.
Yeah.
And you're drawing these same things. And we're going to see he's acquiring all these things that, doing the stone preparation, grabbing gold, everything else. Now 19 kind of finishes up. "The whole in writing from the hand of Yahweh upon me to give understanding." So it came from the hand of Yahweh to David, and then Solomon's going to do it. And I think we'll stop right there. Okay, well, Father, we thank you for these words and the prophecy for the people. So we thank you for our holy Ruach, in Christ our Lord, amen. Be still and walk in the fullness of my love and my compassion that I put upon you, I have in the past and I will do in the present. As you walk faithfully upon my words and you give yourself to my duties and perform all of my will as David did, and you shall be rewarded greatly because you are my sons and daughters in whom I have put here to shed forth my word, my righteousness, my light. So be a lantern to the world so they can see that I abide within you, that I can deliver their life as I delivered yours. Amen. Thank you, Father. See you later.